Language. Words, the thing that sets us apart most from the other animals in God's good creation. That ability to form our thoughts and our ideas into things that we can comprehend, manipulate, reason with, act on, and communicate, either to ourselves or to others. And words have power to move and sway emotions, don't they? They can change and shape the course of human history. Just think of the speeches of Martin Luther King or the rallies of Adolf Hitler. Words can be used for good or for evil and everything in between. We open our mouths to speak around 700 times a day. And then on top of that, there are letters and cards, texts, tweets, emails, Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, Snapchat, you name it, and we've thought of a way to get our words out there. Graham mentioned, James said in his letter to the church that what we say is a good indicator of our character. We can sing the glory of God 1 minute with our words, and then we can be belittling or demeaning someone with words the next. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. In these days of global mass communication, the power of our words to go from our lips or our fingertips out into the world is virtually instantaneous. Are we aware of the consequences of those words? Are we in control? Well, let's hear from the Bible now as Rachel comes to bring us our reading.
So today's reading comes from Proverbs chapter 12, verses 13 to 23. Find in the Pew Bibles, is it 646? Debbie? Yeah, 646. So evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. From the fruit of the lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of the hands brings them reward. The way fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No harm overtakes the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but delights in people who are trustworthy. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool heart blurts out folly. This is the word of the Lord.
If you've been with us over the past 6 weeks or so as we've gone through the book of Proverbs, you might remember that right back at the beginning, what we hear is not a call to speak, but to listen carefully and to hold to the wisdom of the Father. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. And as we've gone through this teaching in Proverbs, there has been one theme which underpins them all. And we've used it already this morning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the Father that we should listen to above all is God, and He is the God of the Word. He creates by a word. In the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. He reveals by his word. We've been given the scriptures so that we might be able to see God and to know ourselves in relation to him. And the greatest revelation of all is Jesus Christ, the living word, the word of life, the word that saves. God, whose Son is the Word, has made us in his image. And because of that, words are an integral part of who we are. We are made to rejoice in God's word, to hold to his promises and his commands, and to relate to one another in our words and through our words in light of all that we know of God. Words are important, so how we use them is important too. So how should we use our words? Well, the purpose of words is to communicate, and no communication is ever neutral. Words will always have an effect, however small, because words have power. Words can lift our spirits. They can make us smile. They can motivate, challenge or edify us. In that same letter to the church, James talks about words can be like that tiny spark that sets a mighty forest on fire. Words can break a heart. Words can cause despair. And words can start a war. And words are always going to have an effect because our brains are hotwired to react to verbal input from other human beings, even when we don't understand the words themselves. Now, if anybody's ever come up to you and spoken, asked you a question or something in a foreign language, one that you don't know, how do you feel? The meaning of the words is lost on you, but those words still elicit a response in you. It might be bafflement, it might be confusion, it might be panic. Words affect us, whether the effect is intended or not. We read this morning, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Or as Proverbs 18:21 puts it, "The tongue has the power of life and death." So it's no surprise that Proverbs has so much to say about how we use our words, about the speech to avoid and the speech that blesses. So let's begin by looking at the speech to avoid, namely lies, flattery, gossip, and slander. Verse 22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." Now, trustworthiness is a word that only makes sense in the context of relationships. And lies don't make for good relationships. When we distort the truth, even slightly, we are being manipulative. We are seeking to influence thoughts and feelings and reactions. Now, we can lie to ourselves to bolster our ego or to justify our actions, even when we know that what we're doing or saying is wrong, damaging to ourselves and to others. And we can lie to others for very much the same reasons. And when we lie, no matter how small or insignificant the lie might seem at the time, we are deliberately trying to shape the way others respond to us, the way they will see us. Now, the danger with that is, of course, that we are not in control of the consequences. And without honesty and openness, relationships cannot survive. And that goes not simply for our friendships, for our marriages, for our family life, but also for our working relationships. The fields of commerce and politics, all of these human interactions. Our news is full of instances where lies and falsehood have undermined the proper functioning of society. Just take a look at the situation in Britain today. It's a case in point, and it always results in people getting hurt. Now, both entertainers and politicians, strangely enough, make a living out of bending and stretching the truth in one way or another. Entertainers exaggerate the truth for comedic effect. And politicians these days never lie, they misspeak. Now, we may react very differently to each of them, but what does it say about us as a society that it's become acceptable to manipulate people with falsehoods or lies to whatever degree. Lies distort our beliefs, our behaviour. They make us believe false things about ourselves and about others, and ultimately about God. They paint a misleading picture of the world and our place in it, and they can muddy the waters with regards to what is right and what is wrong. It's no surprise that Jesus once described the devil as the father of lies, because lies serve his purposes very well. Well, what about flattery? Surely there's nothing wrong with a little bit of flattery. What is it? It's basically another form of lying, because it involves telling people what they want to hear rather than the truth. Proverbs has a fair amount to say about flattery too, such as a lying tongue hates those who hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin, while someone who flatters their neighbour is spreading nets for their feet. Now, our flattery may be made with the best of intentions, and I'm not saying to my husband, don't tell me I look good, don't look good in this dress, but we could nevertheless be storing up trouble for future for those that we flatter. They may choose a wrong career based on misleading appraisal of their skills. They might overlook an issue they need to deal with because the signs that have been papered over with comforting platitudes. We might become puffed up with pride, and we might be hurt or wounded when a different reality plays out than the one we've been led to believe or expect. The Bible says it's far better to speak the truth with love than to flatter or deceive. So lies in whatever form, however big, however small, what they're actually doing is they're distorting the image of God in us, the God who is truth. And we are made to glorify God in the world. Another aspect of our use of words that Proverbs has a lot to say about is slander and gossip. Here's just a few of the things that it has to say on the subject. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbours, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. And this morning we heard an honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. While Proverbs 20 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. When we talk about others behind their backs, we are breaking confidence with them. We might be passing on information that was meant to be kept private, sharing an opinion with no justification. Gossip takes the coward's way out. Complaining or raising questions about someone because we don't have the courage to face them face to face. And gossip demeans, because it actually seeks to generate pleasure and amusement at the expense of others, to satisfy our craving to belong, to be on the inside, to be in the know. And slander is even worse. It's malicious gossip that gives someone no opportunity to defend themselves, no chance to refute unjustified criticism. And gossip and slander, well, we know that they're damaging enough when they're done in the workplace or in our homes or amongst friends. But social media has multiplied the problem exponentially. The greatest blessing and the greatest curse of social media is its immediacy and its reach. Our ability to communicate with whoever we want, whenever we want, wherever we want. At the touch of a button, it's out there. And gossip and slander posted on social media are no longer a secret furtive affair, the things that we do behind closed hands, but public, far-reaching, and long-lasting. We've all become judge and jury in matters that are simply not our concern. And lives and reputations are so easily ruined by a hasty or an ill-conceived word, an unwarranted rumour, a half-truth or a lie. And people, particularly our young people, are being hurt and even dying as a result of it. Now, I'm not condemning social media. I use social media myself. It's not all bad. Of course it isn't. But it does mean that we need to take even greater care over our choice of and our use of words. The things that we share, the things that we like, so that our tweets, our retweets, our posts, all of these things are truthful, are helpful and informative, are gracious and encouraging. Even when we are criticizing, think our words through, think the consequences through. Above all, whatever we say needs to be true to the image of God in us. So how do we use our words wisely? What is the speech that blesses? Well, I said at the beginning that according to James, the words that we use reveal our character. We are created in the image of God, the God of relationship, the one who is utterly trustworthy, eternally faithful, the one whose word is truth. God is always truthful with us because he wants the very best for us. Sometimes we know that the truth hurts. It pulls us up short. But we are not damaged by the truth that God speaks to us. When God's word speaks truth into our lives, it is to correct us, to challenge us, to affirm his word in us, to renew and convict us. It is to build us up as a kingdom people so that we can go out into the world and affirm one another, so that we can reveal the God who is truth and light to others. So our words must be true. Words that create and build up and protect relationships. Words that encourage, that guide and nurture. And yes, sometimes we will have to speak words of truth that challenge the behaviour of others or receive those words of truth for ourselves. Words that must be said with sensitivity, humility, and love. Our words should be true, but they also should be few. Proverbs 17 says, "The one who uses knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has not understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongue." Don't let words be the first part of us to react to what we hear or what we see. We should engage our brains and our ears before we let our mouths, or in the case of social media, our fingers, get to work. Our passage closed with the words, "The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly." Before we open our mouths, let's put our brains into gear and take a moment to think about what we're going to say. Now, yes, it will slow down our conversation. We won't be as reactive, but that's a good thing, because in the end, it might keep us from saying things that we will regret later. Now, I don't know whether you've ever done this, but I've done this. If I know I've got a difficult conversation ahead of me, what I will do is I will speak it out. I'll come to the Lord in prayer and I will speak out that conversation. That way I can reason through the emotions and the attitudes before we hit the coalface. And we should also use our ears. Listening gives us the opportunity to weigh up whether or not what we're about to say is loving and truthful and helpful, whether it's going to be building up or breaking down. And the more we listen, the better able we are to understand one another, the better able we can pick up those hints and those clues about a situation or a circumstance. and therefore the more appropriate our response is going to be. So listening is a valuable skill to develop, but it's no good expecting it in others when we come to speak to them if we fail to acquire it ourselves. I know there are times when we all let our tongues run away with us. It's not only likely to get us into trouble, but it's inconsiderate of others. Proverbs 10 warns us that sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation or a meeting which has been dominated by a single voice. Remember how it makes you feel. Frustrated and exhausted at best, undervalued and unheard at worst. When we have something to say, something to contribute, let's be clear and concise and considerate of others. Our words should be those that build up. And if we never let people have the opportunity to use their words, how can we be built up? So our words should be true, should be few, and thirdly, they should be positive. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. So remember that our words are always going to have an effect, and the effect can be anything from the barely perceptible to the life-changing. And so with that in mind, we need to choose and use our words carefully. Will the words that we use when we communicate with one another show kindness and consideration? Or will they be words that breed discord and discontent? Will they be words that encourage or discourage? Will they advise or mislead? And will my actions reflect the words that I say? Or does it actually detract from them? And above all, what I say, does it reflect Christ in me? Or do they dishonor his name? Luke 4:22 says of Jesus, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. The way we speak says something about the condition of our heart. And it is impossible to conduct hard surgery on yourself. As with any other area of our lives, everything that I've just said is going to be impossible to do without the grace of God at work within us, shaping us to be more like Jesus. So why not use our words today to be praying for one another? Praying that we might have those words that will speak encouragement, speak truth, speak helpfulness, love and kindness into other people's lives. To pray that the words that we might speak well not only of us, but speak well of God and point others to Christ. Now, if this morning you're with us and you think, you know, I have never asked Jesus to come into my life and make my life his own, then actually there are no greater words that we can ever say than to invite him in.